This message comes to you from Mountain Life Church in McCall, Idaho, where God is bringing wholeness to people, families, and communities through His Word, His Spirit, and authentic, loving relationships. It is our heart that this message touches you and brings wholeness to your families.
Thank you. Give it up for our worship team as well. Great. Setting the stage is so important. Mountain Life, I am, again, so honored to be able to come to the house with a word that God has put on my heart. And in my humanity, I will probably at some point disappoint you. But the anchor that holds Jesus Christ will never, ever forsake you or leave your side is always there. He will never disappoint. He may leave us awestruck, but He will never disappoint. So, Heavenly Father, we as a house, we as a people, come to You today with expectant hearts, Heavenly Father. And every time, as Pastor Joe said, we approach You in prayer and humility, but also expectancy, Lord. You always have a blessing for us. You always have that food that is more than bread alone. And so we invite You in today, Heavenly Father, into the presence of this house, once again to open Your word and to glean from You. What Pastor Doe prayed on is absolutely incredibly important. The prayers of a righteous people availeth much. And so we thank You, Heavenly Father, for the opportunities that we have, yes, as children of the Most High God, to approach Your throne to Your open arms. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is not in my notes. Don't worry about it, Tim. I just received this morning. Take it from Matthew 24, 12 and 13. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. This is a marathon, not a sprint. Every day, we depend on Him. Some days more than others. So the invitation, found in Matthew 4:19. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. We're all fishers of men as believers, every single one of us. Now, we may fish with different lures, and we may fish in different waters, but we all should be fishers of men and women. A great American poet and author, while agnostic, he loved nature and wrote a lot about that. And so David Thoreau said that men may go their entire life fishing and never understand that fishing is not all about catching fish. And that's what this is about. This is about us understanding the balance between follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And in Mark 6:31, at the time, the disciples were sent out without Christ. They had been walking with Him all along, learning His techniques, learning His words, learning His directions. And then they were sent out. And so, as the story goes, they had been out and they were blessing others and they were casting out demons and they were doing the work that Jesus had set them to do, fishers of men. And when they returned, they were so excited about what they had been doing that they started to explain to Jesus their journey and how it had been. And as we know, during those times when Jesus was out and about and His disciples, there were these throngs of people all the time, all the way around. And so in the midst of their enthusiasm, there was this ongoing crowd of things going on. And Jesus went to them and he says, hey, you guys, let's go away to an isolated place and spend time together. And I believe that at that time is when transition happened from action and activity to relationship. Our relationship with the Lord is the same way. Our relationship with God has to do with our balance of activity, the fishing, and the time that we step out in relationship with the Lord to stay filled up. But in rest, there's also a danger. We find it in the story of Nehemiah. A tremendous story all the way. And before chapters 12 and 13, Nehemiah has it on his heart and goes to the Persian king and asks if he could go and rebuild the wall. Interesting that we're talking a lot about walls here and today. Just a thought. But there was a lot of conflict. The enemies around were absolutely everything that they could do to keep the wall from being rebuilt. But Nehemiah waded in, and he searched God's heart on the direction that he should take and what he should do. And so in that he found the formula that every family at every breach of the wall would bring their family to that breach and work on it, and as a whole people, that wall was reconstructed. Now, the conflict was so difficult that there was a time period, especially with the critical parts of that wall, that they had a sword in one hand and they had a trowel in the other. We have to remember that the things that we're set to do by the Lord can be a difficult journey for many, many, many different reasons. So Nehemiah brings the people together, and astoundingly, I really need to get a drink of water. I apologize. The table got really full with a lot of stuff all of a sudden, and I forgot my water. Oh, yeah. So at the time, they were looking at the wall, and in its the celebration that came from what they had accomplished, interestingly enough, in 52 days, less than 2 months, that wall was back in the position it needed to be. Nehemiah was doing this for 12 years. So it may cause a person to ask, what about the other 11 and a half years it took place? Well, it turns out that not only the wall was being reconstructed and rebuilt and raised back up, but the hearts of the people towards God and the temple and the traditions that God had placed on their heart with the commandments were being rebuilt and redesigned to return back to what God had the intent. So 52 days to rebuild the wall and 11 and a half years to get their hearts right again. The danger of rest is the danger of being set afloat, adrift, if you will. And so what happened in the great celebration of all that had been done with the wall rebuilt and the refurbishing of the people and their relationship with God, they became economically more prosperous, safer, all those different things that came along with that. So when Nehemiah went back, and he was the cupbearer to the same king, it came a report on him that the people were falling back. Only a few years later, approximately about 3 years. So Nehemiah returned to the city, And what he found broke his heart, that the people had drifted away in a very short period of time. So he made some shifts, made some adjustments, those kinds of things. And if you want to look at some of those last pieces and parts, you can go to that book and find those out in 11 and 12 in those chapters. But the important thing for us today is saying, how in the world can we so quickly go adrift? In his book called A Letter to the Hebrews, William Barclay talks about this very thing. An excellent book, and I would recommend it to everyone. Some amazing history behind it. And it's very revealing on how that book came into being sometime after the original reading of the Bible or the writing of the Bible. I would highly recommend it. But in that, Barclay refers to chapter 2, verse 1. We're in the book of Hebrews. It says, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. So in the original Greek, there's two words in that. In this interpretation, it's a little different. So they use two words in Greek, which I won't even try to say again because I could never pronounce it correctly. But one word talked about when we tie up a boat, we pay attention to that, and we tie it securely. An anchor is absolutely worthless if you don't tie it up to the boat. Just saying. On the other word, refers to if we tie up haphazardly and carelessly. What happens is the knot over a relatively short period of time or the waves that come in, that knot starts to give way and the boat runs adrift. Interesting, there's a lot of examples of this happening. I mean, people even getting on their blow-up air mattress and falling asleep on the coast, and they find themselves out adrift at 3 miles, and the Coast Guard has to be called and those kind of things. But it's losing sight, disconnecting of the things that we really need to stay focused on because of the chance of drifting away. So remember, and again in the balance of the activity and the action and the time of rest, the importance that we pay attention even during those times of rest and stay moored, stay tight, stay connected. There's those kinds of things. Billy had mentioned it, hunting, for me hunting, but fly fishing for me is an amazing environment for me to be with the Lord. I like the process, but it's peaceful. There's more to fishing than catching fish. And I can go there and I can be with the Lord. Unlike trying to be quiet in the woods, I don't really have to be quiet around the river. The fish are on the wall, you know, it works out well for me. But I also know that, as it says in Hebrews, we need to keep our eye on where we've been, where we are, and where we're going. So in fly fishing, you have to be remaining aware of what's behind you, because we can get stuck and hung up. Now I have to go back and go through that whole process. Our spiritual walk is the same. As what happened with Nehemiah, the people got so focused on where they had been and the celebration and the rebuilding of the wall that they lost sight of where they should be. And so what happened is they went adrift. They got hung up in the past. So getting stuck there, it's great to celebrate it. We need to know where we've been, our journey with the Lord, and it is our testimony. It's saying fishers of men and fishers of women, a huge part of that is our testimony and what the Lord has done in our life. The things that we don't want to lose sight of and we don't want to, we want to remember what we've heard. So in that, each one of us is in this position of whatever position that we're in, whether we are action or we are at rest, we're keeping our eyes on the prize, keeping our eyes on the anchor that holds. Remembering that as I stop rowing, I begin to drift. Charles Moore in 1924 wrote this song, probably most famous by Emmylou Harris. I've taken a little bit of a liberty to change the words. Are you drifting too far from shore? Out on the perilous deep, where danger silently creeps, and storms so violently sweep, are you drifting too far from shore? This is something that causes me to reflect on my own life and how it's absolutely critical that we're honest with ourselves and we stay the course. We keep our eyes on Him at all times. Drifting too far from shore. Are you drifting too far from shore? Why meet a terrible fate? Mercies abundantly wait. Turn back before it's too late. Are you drifting too far from shore? Today the tempest rose high and the clouds overshadow the sky. Sure death is hovering nigh. Are you drifting too far from shore? And in the chorus, drifting too far from the shore, are you drifting too far from the shore? Come to Jesus today. Let Him show you the way. Are you drifting too far from shore? So, whether I'm in my journey with the Lord each day, or maybe I've found that I have drifted too far away, Jesus is waiting, always waiting, for us to reconnect ourselves, to refocus ourselves on all that He holds, all the grace, all the blessing, all the understanding, all the patience, all the mercy that exists are available to us each and every day. Never doubt it. For indeed, if you have the Holy Spirit has ever, ever resided in your heart with your acceptance of Jesus Christ, it's a promise. That Holy Spirit is still there. Maybe muffled. It's just still small voice to start with. Take the time to reach out. And He will reach in. The warnings of spiritual drift. The first warning is real, and no believer is immune. We all have the danger of drifting. Number two, a call to honestly assess your spiritual condition. Wake up, look around, take the time. Step back, step forward, whatever the direction that the Holy Spirit is working on your heart. And remember what the apostle said, that we see now dimly, but in that day, we will see clearly. Sometimes we need to just step forward or backward into that thing that we see dimly, that thing that we're not sure, the thing that causes us to depend on Him more. Because that's where our success is held. Number three, and instead of to rely on Jesus Christ to preserve you from drifting, and if you are, to rescue you and bring you back. So whether it's a rededication of my heart towards the Lord and my acceptance of the Lord, or it's staying fast making sure that I'm tied up, that I'm moored securely, each and every day. Each and every day. So how do we keep from drifting? How do we remain steadfast and moored tightly? Remember, we begin to drift when we stop rowing. As Jesus directed, rest is needed. But as stated in the book of Hebrews, pay attention to your mooring, your anchor that holds. So I would like to invite anyone that would like to come forward for prayer. Whether that's a rededication or just that place that I set my sights on what God has for me. And I ask him in specific, we're all different. We're all on the same trail, but we're in different places and we're dealing with different things. The Lord wants to invite it in to all of them. Nothing's too large, nothing's too small, but we have to trust. We have to trust enough to bring it before him. Do not hold back.
Yeah, can we have the prayer team come forward? Thanks, Joe. Such a good word. I feel like this morning, would you just stand with me? Hey, Pastor Joe had talked about voting and a few other things, and Sarah had mentioned about Washington, D.C., and I just, and Joe had just spoken about just taking the time with God. So I just want to challenge you this week to just take some time for yourself with God. Just take a moment to just get some clarity, hear his voice, see clearly just what he is saying and speaking over you, as well as just what he wants you to do going forward with this week and this month. And we've got some voting things coming up here in 3 weeks. It's a big deal. There's a lot going on in our country. But most importantly, we just need to be on our knees. Amen. We just need to be on our knees, and we just need to trust that Christ, God, is going to take us through, and he's going to provide like he always provides, and he's always going to come through. So this week, as you're doing whatever it is you're going to be doing amazingly this week, I just want to challenge you to just spend some time, whether that's in your car or whether that's whatever that looks like for you, just take some time to yourself, okay? Father God, we just praise you for today. I just thank you so much for how glorious it is outside, God. It's like summertime. I pray that you would just be blessed today, God, as we can just rest in you today, a day of rest. I just pray that the rest of this afternoon would just be amazing. God, I pray that the rest of this week would just have your covering on it. And we just pray all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's word. If you would like to receive prayer or get in contact with any of our ministries or leaders, go ahead and call us at 208-634-3037. Have a great and blessed day.